Blog Talk Radio.
Old buttermilk sky, I'm a keeping my eye peeled on you. What's a good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you, oh, buttermilk sky. I'm a telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight. Keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you, oh, buttermilk sky. I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight. Keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try. Don't tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky.
Okay. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective on Blog Talk Radio with the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do this live two nights a week, Tuesday, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the show that goes out over the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. Plain and simple, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there on the internet. ACP, proud and humbled to be moving through that rarefied air. The president, just as I said in the teaser, defends Israel. The president defends Israel, and the left still calls him a Nazi. Oh, these cats. Last week, a couple of the chicks from the squad, Rashida Tlaib and old girl, Ilhan Omar. Now, all four of the squatty chicks, they're all anti-Semites. Two of them Muslims, and they were born and bred to be nothing but Jew-hating pieces of crap. Cortez, she's a big proponent of BDS, boycott, divest, and sanctions. And so is Ayanna Presley. They hate Jews. They're anti-Semites. There's no other way to say it. Nobody wants to say it. Everybody wants to say, well, they choose their words poorly. They don't really fully understand, when they speak with their passions, they know what they're saying. They're talking all this crap about Jewish people because they hate the Jews. They're anti-Semites. That's all there is to it. So, doing what he does, really and truly better than just about anybody, Donald Trump seizes upon this And, you know, these girls, the squad chicks are always dogging out America. They're saying this, they're saying that. We're no good. We're terrible. We're bad people. And yet, in spite of us being this evil place, this terrible, terrible excuse for a country, illegal aliens are climbing over, digging under, swimming around, running through deserts, through remote areas of the country just to get here. Just to get here. And, you know, the squad chicks, they talk about concentration camps and people being made to drink out of toilets. And it's all lies. It's all sensationalism. It's all theater. But there are those who are going to buy into it. Maybe some of them buy into it only briefly before they figure out the deal. But a lot of them buy into it like true believers, and that's the way they stay. And nothing's going to convince them. So, Tlaib and Omar decide they're going to take the show on the road. They're going to go to Israel. Donald Trump starts tweeting when he finds out about this. He says, you know what? If it was me, I wouldn't let him in. Just saying. Just tossing that out there. BB, I know you got a great country. You're fabulous people. We love the Jewish people. And, America will always be your friend. And there is a law in Israel on their books that states if individuals are invested or represent or are advocates of the BDS movement, the boycott, divest, and sanction movement against Israel, they're not allowed in the country. For the obvious reasons, they're clearly not there to do the country of Israel any benefit. So Bibi Netanyahu says, no, you can't come in. Donald's right. You guys are idiots. You're an embarrassment. We're not going to let you in. So Rashida Tlaib has written a letter to the Israeli government, desperate to see her 90-some-year-old grandma, who incidentally she hasn't seen at all, hasn't made any attempt to visit in the last 8 years. None. Zip. Probably not any letters, probably not any cards. But she's got to go see this old woman before she dies because this is just a terrible thing. So the Israeli government generously relents and says, well, okay, but none of that BDS crap when you're in the country. And what does Rashida Tlaib say? Never mind. Never mind. I'm not going. I don't want to go. I'm not interested. And I can't remember, it might have been the Israeli foreign minister, you know, basically said, well, you know, she's demonstrated for all and sundry that her love for her grandmother is nothing compared to her hatred of Israel. And he's absolutely right. If I sound a little weird, here's the deal. I woke up this morning with a runny nose. So I'm figuring I would just put it down to allergies because we're, you know, this is second half of the hay fever season. And but it's been with me all day. And perhaps not so smartly, I took a couple Benadryl before the show started. I don't normally take anything. Usually if I get a cold or I get the upper respiratory thing, Alka-Seltzer Plus, that's what works the best for me. And it doesn't even have to be Alka-Seltzer. It could be Kroger Seltzer. It could be Great Value Seltzer. They could be Walgreens, Celsius. It doesn't matter. Any of the formulas are fundamentally the same, and they work the best. And I don't take Benadryl. I don't take anything. So, you know, if I get a little disjointed, I mean, more distracted than usual, that's probably why. Plus, I smoked a lot of weed, too. So, no, I'm just kidding. Relax. Take it easy. It's a joke. I didn't really take any Benadryl. Everything's fine. So, where was I? Oh, so the Jew-hating girls, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, they don't get a go to Israel. Israel says, no, we're not going to let you in. So they come back to the United States. They hold a presser. They whip out their crocodile tears. They talk about how oppressed they are. They're this, they're that. And immediately, now, again, back to this law that's on the books in Israel, if they're an advocate, a proponent, a fan of, devotee of the boycott, divest, and sanction movement against Israel, it's a done deal. You can't come in the country. And I would imagine, like I said, where Rashida Tlaib sent this sob sister letter to the Israeli foreign ministry, being humanitarians, having hearts, they said, okay, sure, all right, you can come in. She's 90-some years old. You're probably not going to get another chance. And unlike you people, we're not heels. Go visit your Graham, and have a good time. But none of that BDS crap, okay? Just go visit your grandmother, hang out, and then split with none of that stuff. And she says, no, that's not going to happen. If I'm going to get in the country, I'm going to dog you people out. So she didn't go. She refused it. And the master troller that he is, Donald Trump replied to this whole thing. He says, you know, he sums up the situation as only he does. But the tagline is this. He says, the only winner here is Tlaib's grandmother, who doesn't have to see her now. Dude is good at what he does, man. He is totally, totally good at what he does. But in doing so, when he calls these people out, the Democrats, and when I say these people, I'm talking about Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, the squatty chicks. When he calls them out, while he's attacking those people in particular, the Democrats can't look at it in any other way than to interpret that he is attacking Democrats all. So what do? They defend. They defend the anti-Semites. If you look and see more and more, you see the evidence of anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party. I know that you got friends. That's not what I meant. I know that you have friends who are Democrat. You got liberal friends. You see them on Facebook posting their stuff. And maybe you enter into that forum. Maybe you don't. I used to. I don't anymore. I bring it here to this particular forum where I am the most comfortable, and I lay it all out. And have you ever thought, and I've thought about it, and I've never done it, but I've thought about asking them, how can it be that they can support leaders in their party? And I'm sure we've probably got a lot of anti-Semites in the Republican Party, probably not nearly as many as in the Democrat Party, but I'm sure we have them, and they need to be rooted out. And they need to be turned out. But, I mean, it's obvious amongst the Democrats, amongst the Democrat presidential candidates, not one of them has said anything positive about a relationship with Israel of working out some kind of reciprocity towards mutual security. Because many Middle Eastern interests that affect or threaten Israel likewise affect and threaten the United States. It is the only democracy in the area. And it would appear that, like Hamas and the Palestinian Authority, that the Democrat Party is committed to driving Israel into the sea. Donald Trump calls them on their anti-Semitism. They call him a Nazi for telling Israel, don't let these anti-Semites into your country. If it were me, I would say no. But Bibi Netanyahu, as I said, didn't even have to say no. The law is in place. It works automatically. Man, that Benadryl's good stuff. So he just does what he does, and boom, immediately, he's a Nazi. He's defending Israel. He has allied himself with Israel as presidents go in terms of the time that Israel has been established as a nation state, which hadn't been that long. It was 48 years ago. I mean, 1948, rather. Excuse me. They became a nation in 1948. 2019. Long time ago. Almost 80 years ago. And perhaps of the presidents since Israel's inception, has there been a greater friend to Israel? Richard Nixon was a good friend to Israel. Ronald Reagan, a staunch ally. George W. H. W. Bush, both the Bush boys. Clinton, not so much. Barack Obama, hubba. Yeah, no, not at all. And they're going to call Donald Trump. He moves the United States Embassy to Jerusalem. Why does he do that? Presidents have been jawboning and making noises about doing that pretty much since there's been since 1948. Nobody did it. He did it. Made it happen. Does that sound like the move of an anti-Semite to you? No. No, he's not an anti-Semite. And you know what? You're probably not an anti-Semite either. You're probably not a racist. So when the next time you get and I want to know what they say, because I don't understand it myself. You have people on the left, you have people on the right. I mean, we all agree anti-Semitism is a bad thing. Racism in general is a bad thing. And yet, you've got some pretty serious anti-Semitism going on in the upper levels of the Democrat Party and among elected Democrat leaders. My question is, and you know, your friends are probably not anti-Semitic either. And my question is, and it might be your question to them, how can you support a political party, for one thing, or an ideology, for one thing, and political leaders who are invested so heavily in anti-Semitism? I don't know. And the truth about the whole thing is, if you ask it, and maybe nobody's asked, but how would they, you got to wonder how they would answer. What would they say? Why, those people aren't anti-Semites. Yeah, they are, and you can go. I mean, you and the proof's out there. It doesn't take a 10-minute search, and you can find out whether or not anybody's got any anti-Semitism or a racist streak in their background if they're on, if they're in the public eye and they're on social media at all. New York Times. I saw this earlier today. I can't remember. It might have been Breitbart. An editor at the New York Times. Flaming anti-Semite. Some of the stuff that he had posted on social media was abhorrent. It was unbelievable. And he's one of the fab new group of political opinion editors at the New York Times. And the New York Times is so disappointed. We'll get back to the anti-Semitism thing. Hold on. The New York Times is so disappointed that the Comey and the Mueller collusion investigation went absolutely nowhere. It blew up in their faces. So after 2.5 years of telling us that the Nazi, Donald Trump, is a communist stooge, they're going, scrap that. What we got to do is we got to make the guy look like a racist. So we're going to look at all his immigration policies, and if they're good for the country, we're not going to mention that. We're going to say he's doing it because he hates Mexicans or whatever, that, you know, whatever crap they say. But what do you think your friends would say? How can you vote for presidential candidates or senators that are opposed to the existence of Israel? That's what we're talking about. That's the whole point behind Hamas. Oh, and incidentally, this trip that Tlaib and Omar were going to go on, the bill was being footed by an old babe named Hannah Ashrari. Hannah Ashrari was one of the principal spokespeople for Hamas and the Palestinian Authority under that weasel Yasser Arafat back in the 80s and 90s. She's heavily embedded with the boycott, divest, and sanction movement. And that's who was paying for the two girls to go over there and sling their anti-Semitic poop within Israel's walls, within Israel's walls. It didn't happen. But that's the reality of the situation. Now, the reason these people are in power, obviously, is because they've got Democrats voting for them. Right? Absolutely. Who are those Democrats that are voting for them? Well, they could be pretty close friends to you and me. Well, maybe not so close nowadays because the political climate in this country and the degradation of political discourse in the United States has devolved into such a sad commentary that you know, maybe you don't have that many Democrat friends. No reflection on you. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. But, you know, those cats get a little reactionary. They get a little volatile. It's like I was talking on Tuesday night in my area of the country. There's a lot of Democrats. And in the old days in West Virginia, they said you could count on 3 pictures in any living room in the Mountain State, and that was one of John L. Lewis, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Jesus. Those are the 3 pictures you could see. The Savior, the President of the United States, FDR, and John L. Lewis, the man behind the United Mine Workers Union. So how do they justify it? And I give you fair warning, it's the kind of question that can have a tendency to short circuit a dyed-in-the-wool leftist. They're not going to be able to give you a reason, obviously, okay? They're going to, you know, they're not anti-Semitic. You're crazy. What are you talking about? I don't vote for, well, yeah, okay, that's my congressman, and he did say that, and I did vote for him. Maybe he was taken out of – no, he said it like that four different times and then clarified his position and said, no, he wasn't being taken out. Oh, okay, damn, that's – your friends, my friends, our friends, people we have dinner with, people we watch ball games with, people that are in our neighborhoods, people we go to cookouts with, people that we laugh with, people that we care about, people that we've grieved with, fundamentally not so different from you and I, are voting for this. They're straight up voting for these people. Now, are these people coming back to their home, their home districts, and they're going, all I need is for you good people to send me back to Washington so that we can screw Israel some more. They're not going to say that. They're not going to say that. Okay, they're going to wait till they're back in Washington. They're going to wait till they're back amongst their elite fellows, their stuffed shirt brethren and sistren, where everyone talks about the plight of the poor Palestinian people or how harsh and oppressive Israel is. Maybe ask a friend you don't care to lose. Seriously. And then again, you know what? Forcing them into this and generating that cognitive decision, they may be angry at you for a while. They may hate your guts. But who knows? Ultimately, you may be the reason that they came around. You may be the reason that they stopped and thought, well, you know what? Yeah, why am I? Because anti-Semitism is wrong. And what these guys are saying, yeah, I'm not taking it out of context. These guys are anti-Semites. What am I doing? Like I said, they got to get in there somehow. And, of course, you know, talking about Democrats, there's no end to the voter, you know, the voter fraud that goes on. But you got people voting for them. So... and it's not just in the United States. Europe has been a traditional home for anti-Semitism since the time of Captain Dreyfus in the 1880s. The French have hated the Jews. Jeremy Corning and the Labour Party in the United Kingdom nowadays, oh my God. Hamas with powdery wigs. Germany goes without saying. The Middle East, of course. And you know, Scripture tells us that the Jews have been and will be set upon till the end days. And but they're so open with it now. They're so blatant. Nobody's in the closet with this anymore. And what you have on the left, again, we're seeing it in its later stages of its embryonic state. It's becoming institutionalized within the Democrat Party. When Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all the other wheels batten down the hatches and circle the wagons around these four moonbat, bigoted, anti-Semitic fools. What else can you say? I mean, there is nothing plainer than that. We are down to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to get some music going here. This is A Conservative's Perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio Network at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. That's where you go. And plus, we've got links all over the place. It shouldn't be any trouble to find us anywhere. And we do the show live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Plus, we also have a live incarnation of the show. God. Damn, that Benadryl is good. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Mojo 50 Radio. Mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian conservative talk radio. We will be back with more of ACP right after this.
Baby, 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 now don't you look so blue. I got a surprise for you, darling. Yeah, yeah, you're gonna like it too. Well, your landlord throwed you out 'cause your rent was overdue, so I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. I done it, baby. It's got a Honda generator and a Sterno stove. And there's a creek out back, darling, where you can take a bath and wash clothes. Well, your Cinderella story is all a coming true, 'cause I cleaned out a room and my trailer for you. It's a home sweet home where we can raise hell and take a drink, baby, be somebody, be ourselves. We can run around naked without any fear. The law knows better than to come out here. Ain't no one had last time. Gonna pick one. A case of party liquor and a case of potted meat. And I got some stick candy, darling. Yeah, yeah, in case you want something sweet. You'll forget about that doctor that you was married to, 'cause I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. That's right. You'll be queen for a day, every day it's true, 'cause I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. I hope you like your new home, darling. Would you like for me to carry you over the threshold? I'm like a bird let out of this cage, and I intend to vent my rage. So put down the phone, you ain't calling the law on me. I've had enough of your flapping jaws. Now get in that kitchen and fry me some hog, and open me a can of beer, and set the TV remote right here, and wear something sexy if you're gonna talk. Just put down the phone, you ain't calling the law on me. I've done enough time in the state penitentiary. I'm like a bird let out of this cage, and I intend to vent my rage. So
put down the phone, you ain't calling the law on me. Baby, go and fetch it for me. Bring me a sandwich and a old Milwaukee. And don't be talking whilst I'm watching TV. Go and fetch it for me. It is your privilege to serve and obey my every command. You will be seen and not heard, and you'll try to look good for your man. But if you disappoint me and you fall short of my expectations, I'll throw you away. I'm a man, and that's what mans do. Baby, go and fetch it for me. The wrestling match is coming on Channel 3. If there's anything else I need, you can fetch it for me. I could use another old Milwaukee. Go and fetch it for me. Good girl.
Howdy, y'all. James Bossick, a conservative's perspective here. Where are we? Oh, Patriot, on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, blogtalk, putting the blah in blah, 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 blogtalk. Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the show as well. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time at Mojo50 Radio, mojo50.com. Your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio on the internet. No need to go anywhere else. And they got all kinds of apps. You can check them out. iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, all over the place. Well, I don't really have too much to talk about here in the second half of the show. I burned everything out in the first half hour. So, good night. Hope you guys think. Let's dig around. We'll find something. I'm fairly certain of that. We'll find something to talk about. Joe Biden. Let me talk about Joe Biden for a minute. He's got some problems. He's always had problems. He's got some serious ones though. I don't want to call them potential legal problems, but he's definitely corrupt as hell. And what I'd like to do, and we talked about a little bit of that on Tuesday, is like 8 things to know about Joe Biden's crooked ass. But that's not all. There's more. What you need to do, I was going to play the clip, or I was going to upload the clip, but things happened and I didn't get to. 2 days ago, his wife, Jill Biden, constantly identified by the MSM as Dr. Jill Biden, because she's got a doctorate in education, which is a far cry from the implied medical degree. They say it like she's a neurosurgeon, you know. And she inadvertently in her endorsement, not quite so ringing endorsement of her husband, acknowledged the problems, the trouble all of us basically were paying close attention to this old dude. And she's going, you know, okay, well, maybe your candidate's better on health care than Joe is. Or maybe your candidate's better on certain facets of foreign policy than Joe is. But you have to look at the polls. And you need to get behind my husband and vote for him because he's leading in the polls. And maybe, and this is where, you know, maybe you have to swallow a little bit and say, go Joe. I don't know what you're saying. This was the ringing endorsement that his wife gave him. Now, you've heard some of the things, and you, YouTube, who is it? Supercuts, maybe? Maybe it's Supercuts, maybe it's Washington Free Beacon. Joe Biden gaffes. G-A-F-F-E-S. Joe Biden gaffes. That's all you got to put in there. They will bring you stuff up that will keep you occupied and stupefied for hours. But the things that are happening now on this particular campaign trail, these mental lapses aren't really gaffes, or, you know, what is it? I can't remember who it was. One of the talking heads said, what is a gaffe? Well, a gaffe is what happens when a politician slips up and tells the truth. Well, these are no longer gaffes as we understand the term. They do demonstrate, however, a tenuous grasp of what is real and what is fantasy. Michael Tracy in an article put it like this. He says, surely no one can seriously contend at this point that Biden's constant malfunctions are simply innocuous slips of the tongue, which belie a mind that is as sharp as ever. Simply watch back his past debate performances. During 2007 and 8, occasionally messed up a word or said something uncouth. In this current cycle, he is inhibited from following his own trains of thought to completion. That's why his handlers have been providing him with prepared remarks, even in situations where other candidates are speaking off the cuff. Joe Biden in 2019 is plagued by cognition errors, which impair his ability to communicate. It shouldn't be surprising that such errors are becoming more and more frequent with a man who turns 77 years old in November and who once underwent emergency surgery for a brain aneurysm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, the establishment media stick to the word gaffes, disguising the severity of the mental impairment among the large majority of Americans who really aren't yet paying close attention. I know you and I, we do this. We do this all the time. Politics, I mean, news, current events. So you and I are constantly paying attention. But the truth of the matter remains that the largest part of the country doesn't make up its mind or even start looking at things to consider making up its mind till about now, August, September, October. They'll start paying a little bit closer attention on the news. Maybe they'll go to a couple of websites here and there. The debates will come up. You know, they'll look at things and figure it out from there. And it's the use or the the aim of the establishment media by using this word gaffes to allow Joe Biden to sustain his poll numbers. And his poll numbers basically, like we said, amount to the only reason that Dr. Jill Biden can argue any kind of support for her husband. He can beat Trump based on these poll numbers. Also based on these poll numbers is the fact that Hillary Clinton could beat Donald Trump. And as I've said so many times, you know, a lot of politics is just, it's theater. So much of it is theater. And backstage of this particular theater, the Democrat stage managers are not fooled. And they're going to do what they can to dampen any real enthusiasm for Joe Biden because he's not their guy. So expect to see more evidence, more than likely when it's leaked. We're going to find out ultimately that it's been leaked from Democrats concerning these sweetheart deals he was able to score for his son, Hunter Biden, and his family, you know, indirectly therefrom. He's no good. I don't know what to say. He's no good. He used his position and his influence to enrich himself and his family. That whole middle class Joe trope, that left town when he hit Washington. He's enriched himself and his family with foreign money. He has a really disturbing tendency to creep up on young girls. And all he really has, seriously, in a way, it's kind of sad. It's like watching, you know, a prize fighter that's gone to seed that he can't do anymore. Gary, I'm never going to say. I'm going to use this moment for plausible denial. Yes, conceivably, it could have been the Benadryl. I have no further comments to make on this issue at that time. But in a way, like I said, he's like this. I loved Muhammad Ali. He was truly the greatest. But I can remember a time in the mid-70s, late-70s, when, you know, Muhammad was past his prime. And he was getting in the ring, and he was making paydays. But he was not the guy we once remember. Same thing with Sugar Ray Leonard. Even Mike Tyson lost a step eventually. I like Mike Tyson, too. But you know, and so all he has left, this is like his third trip around. Because he was in the running in the mid-80s against Ronald Reagan, I think in 1984, maybe 88. And then again, so he's all he has, he's just clinging. Oblivious to everything else, he's just clinging to this obsession, this ambition to become president of the United States. And the more he wants it, the more he believes he has a chance. The more he believes he has a chance, the more opportunities he presents himself to humiliate himself. And I promise you, he will. But who else do they have? Who else do they have? He's the only guy out there with any legitimate name recognition, and none of it's very positive because of the, like I said, the shady business dealings with foreign money, the pay-to-play thing like Hillary Clinton's doing. Joe Biden did the same thing, and he dumped a lot of this money into his family. He's a creeper. He'll be 77 years old in November. 77. The chances of Joe Biden surviving his first term are below 80%. Bernie Sanders, he's already 77, I think, 76 or 77. Elizabeth Warren, 71. All the establishment types that are out there for the Democrats running for president, and for that matter, controlling the Democrat Party and its politicians in Washington, D.C., are all over 70 years old. Except Schumer. I think Schumer's not 70 yet. Pelosi, 142. Steny Hoyer, 97. I mean, these cats are up there. They're old. And they're establishment and they're dug in. And they like what they have. But I don't think they're going to be able to hold on to it. Or maybe this internecine fight, which as we move closer and closer to Election Day and 2020 in general, we're going to see this come out in the open more and more. It's gotten to the point with Joe Biden, the handlers are so desperate in the campaign, in the Joe Biden campaign, to say, no, man, Joe's good. Joe's solid. Joe's got a mind like a steel trap. Do you know the capital of Djibouti? Joe Biden knows the capital of Djibouti. Djibouti is the capital of Djibouti. He knows what's going on. So in order to prove this, they drag out his physician, Dr. Kevin O'Connor, who said in a written statement provided to the campaign, Vice President Biden is in excellent physical condition. He is more than capable of handling the rigors of the campaign and the office for which he's running. Okay, but then why isn't he? I mean, why isn't he doing just exactly that? Handling the rigors of the campaign. Because now they're sending him out. He's resting for like a week at a time in between appearances. So where exactly is this vigorous, hale, and hearty Joe Biden? Because he's sure not on the campaign all that much. For the last 2 weeks, he was down in the Virgin Island while his lead in Iowa shrinks. So in order to make sure that he's, you know, everybody believes he's 110%, they go with the physician. Then they go with I can't believe I'm saying this. So they tried out the doctor. The doctor said, Dr. O'Connor says, yeah, he's okay. Well, that's not good enough. They bring out his former brain surgeon, Dr. Castle. And Dr. Castle further made the endorsement. He says, I'm going to vote for the candidate who I am absolutely certain has a brain that is functioning. That's a very good line. And that narrows it down to exactly one. Oh, look. Politico's super serious pro-science experts are being all super serious and pro-science. Look, all this stuff that they say, that Jill Biden says, that these doctors say, it's a whitewash. It's a smokescreen. It's a total whitewash of the Vice President Joe Biden that we all see disintegrating cerebrally before our very eyes. A man who is in obvious decline. A guy that appears to spend more time in front of the TV watching Matlock than he does in Iowa. A guy who is so afraid of his own gaffes, he's hiding out. Talk for a minute, though, about life expectancy. And mental acuity. And what does life expectancy anyway, what does that have to do with mental acuity? Well, it doesn't really have much to do with it. Ronald Reagan lived to the age of 93. So he had an amazing life expectancy. But with all due respect to a very great man, do any of us think that he would have been in any kind of shape to be president after the age of 80? Joe Biden will be just a few days short of 78 when he's sworn in as president in November, next November if he wins. And already he can't remember what Joe 30330 means. He can't remember where he was last year during a national tragedy, and he can't remember who Britain's prime minister is. My mom, this May 8th, turned 85 years old. I believe her to be as sharp as she's ever been. But if I were watching her, even in front of a crowd, getting confused over dates, not remembering where they were during the Parkland shooting, unable to grasp the difference between a text and a website, and on two occasions identifying Margaret Thatcher as England's prime minister. All the Politico's experts and all of the New York Times left-wing spin could not remove the cold ball of fear in the pit of my stomach. And that's where we're at right now. Democrats are horrified Joe Biden might actually win. And he's, okay, we're down to it. And he may be their best hope. That's all the time we got for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for hanging in with us. I am shot. I am wore out. Again, I don't take Benadryl that often. And I was afraid that it might make me sleepy or a little groggy. And by God, it did. I still had a good time. Thanks so much for the opportunity to hang out with you. We will be back next Tuesday and Thursday live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Plus, we will also be on this Sunday, Mojo 5.0 Radio, mojo50.com, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. Until then, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.